one of England's finest ever strikers was Jimmy Greaves. Yesterday marked the first anniversary of his sad passing. And to mark that, there is a new book, and it's the words of his friends. The book is called The Jimmy Greaves We Knew, Authorised Celebration of a National Treasure. Mike Donovan has put it all together. Hiya, Mike.
Hi, very well, thanks.
Yeah, it's a different sort of book. It's not an autobiography or biography, if you like. It is kind of told through the eyes of people that knew him, not just in football, but in TV and personally. You know, his family have written their own chapters, or you've spoken to them for their own chapters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was the idea from Terry Baker, the agent. And I thought it was a great idea because it's very hard to write a new book on Jimmy Greaves because there have been so many books on him.
Mm.
And I thought it was just a nice, simple angle, and it worked really well because everybody opened up to me. It was wonderful.
Brilliant. And it was a labour of love for you because Greaves was one of your favourite players, wasn't he?
Well, he was the favourite. He's my only sporting hero, really.
There's a quote in here about, you know, you're kind of trying to sum up what made Jimmy Greaves so good, and it's the late great journalist John Moynihan. There's a line in the book. He summed up the way Jimmy Greaves scored goals: devastating nonchalance, which is a brilliant phrase. And there was a kind of, you were talking about this, Andy, off air, this kind of effortless nature to the way he did it. He was a natural, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you couldn't coach what he had. I mean, even from a very early age, when he was at Chelsea, and the kids, he scored millions of goals as a kid, and then he went into this first team and did exactly the same. I can't remember the exact numbers, but 132 and 160 games or something for Chelsea.
Yeah.
He's only 17, 18. I mean, it's phenomenal.
I love the fact that your mum and dad bought you Greaves' first book when you were 11.
That's
so
right.
You must have been really keen on Spurs then.
I was. I mean, it's through my dad, really. My mum and dad, they courted. When they were courting, they watched the team that Arthur Rowe, you know, the pushing runs.
Yeah, sort of Alf Ramsey and Eddie Bailey and
all those guys.
I mean, there are some great stories. You've got people to tell different stories. Apart from the longer chapters, there are people that just had their own tales. And one that was interesting, considering that the two of them worked together in later years, and fitting into what John Moynihan said, Mick Wright said, "I remember a free kick against Liverpool. Jimmy basically passed the ball into the bottom corner. Liverpool claimed they weren't ready. Ian St John went mad and chased the ref around the pitch." So, considering that they obviously were great mates.
Why don't you do a TV show together?
Yeah, you two
would
be really great. The way you chased me around the pitch then, swearing, saying that you'd be great together. But as we said, that's the thing we've always talked about, Jimmy, is that he had this incredible final act. There was a third act, really. I mean, there was the football career, there was the thing that I'm sure people have talked about in the book, you know, his issues with alcohol, where his life was on hold, and then the recovery with, you know, GMTV and Saint and Greavesy and that incredible sort of TV career that he had.
I mean, it's quite remarkable, really, to come back from alcoholism like that and sort of to forge a career which he considered was more, you know, was better than his football career, he felt. And it takes some strength of character. I mean, I know there's a few stories in the book there. He could be a bit tricky, very occasionally. But generally speaking, he was absolutely wonderful. I mean, everybody loved him, you know. Obviously, his family loved him to bits. But everybody admired him. Said he was a pioneer. He was a, you know, and this is a guy, and he didn't really work at it. Again, he was a bit natural because he just, you know, somebody started asking him questions. As soon as the camera went on, he was focused and he was there with the one-liners and he kind of, and I mean, I think it was Gary Newbon said he was kind of a pioneer with with the banter, you know. It wasn't that kind of thing. Everything was very serious, and then he came along and he spoke sense because he knew what he was talking about, but he also did it with a lot of humour.
And you wrote a supportive letter to him, you say, don't you, in the book, that while he was struggling to give up drinking, and he appreciated that.
Oh, my goodness me. That still hurts me that I lost that.
You lost the letter, yeah? Wow.
Well, it was at Barnet. I interviewed him when he went to Barnet. He got a couple of goals in an FA Cup game against Camberley, and interviewed him, and then after that it all came out in the Sunday People about his alcoholism, and I actually wrote to him just saying, you know, I'm supporting you and you're wonderful and everything, and he wrote back on headed note paper, you know, he wrote it in his own hand. This is going to be an embarrassing story, but I framed it, put it on the wall, and I was just playing indoor football with myself. I was being a goalkeeper and throwing the ball in the air and trying to beat myself. And the ball beat me and smashed into this frame. And then so I put it behind the wardrobe, and then it got left there.
We forgot about it.
And then, well, I didn't forget, but it's in the mood when we moved.
moment had gone.
And I actually did meet him, and I had mentioned it to him. Yeah. But you know, it was a big regret. I don't have many regrets, but that was one of them.
That nonchalance and the ease, it looked like it came to him as a footballer. I was just wondering, in late years, he was on the show a couple of times with us over the years, and he kind of fallen out of love with football. He was preferred watching his grandson play rugby, and he preferred rugby and cricket to football. Did he? Do you think he was someone who loved football? He was brilliant at it. He was fantastic at it, but he didn't strike me as someone who absolutely loved the game in that way, as somebody who watched it a lot and was steeped in it. You know what I mean?
No, I agree exactly. Yeah. I agree with you entirely. He kind of, because it was so natural, it was no effort for him.
Yeah.
And although he always enjoyed scoring goals, and that was his raison d'etre, really.
Yeah.
But he wasn't that in love with the game that he would go. I mean, he didn't really support a team. I mean, he went to the Spurs when he was a kid, on the odd occasions, but he was usually playing on a Saturday,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And he didn't really follow a team. Spurs, I suppose, would be the team he'd follow out of any of them.
But I mean, he wouldn't be the first footballer who was brilliant at it, but could take it and leave it as a game. That happens a lot.
Happens,
you know,
cricket,
we always think that they'll be like that, and there are players that are like that, but it doesn't mean that everybody is.
No, absolutely. No. And we should say, part of the royalties are going to the Jimmy Greaves Foundation, aren't they, in the book, which is
That's right. I mean, they support the Stroke Association. I should know this. The Dogs Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And the Alcoholics Anonymous. And
I
know that Danny, the son, works tremendously hard at that foundation, and it's been pretty successful. And all the family, you know, massively support Jimmy, obviously.
Yeah.
But Danny's the hands-on guy for that.
I mean, there is a feeling that Harry Kane will ultimately break that record if he doesn't go to Chelsea in exchange for Romelu Lukaku in the summer, according to the Italian papers today.
Worst transfer rumour of the year.
No chance.
It will be interesting, because it was 266 goals in 379 appearances. Kane is 209 goals in 318 appearances at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, he's done well. I mean, really, Kane, in terms of stats, pure stats, you know, he stacks up pretty well with Jimmy.
I think I've looked at an old tweet that could even be, it's probably improved since then, so I do apologise. But those stats
very
may be
different
wrong.
Type of striker, very different player, I think.
Kane's a more, you know, he gets involved in the build-up play more, doesn't he? I mean, Jimmy Greaves was an out-and-out striker. I mean, I think Bill Nicholson told him off once for... just basically goal hanging, and he said, "Well, what do you want to do? You know, do you want me to score three or four goals a game, or chase about like a lunatic and and get one or even none?"
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But look, a lovely book, a lovely idea, Mike, as well, as I said, to get. I mean, so many people, as you said, people from TV and from tributes from lots and lots of different people and lots of his old playing teammates as well from over the years. So, look, good to see you. And thanks very much for coming in.
My pleasure.
Where the book is, Pitch Publishing are the publishers. We said some of the money going to the Jimmy Greaves Foundation, and it's out now, The Jimmy Greaves We Knew.